Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point. At least I think that's what it says on my wallet. Coming to you from the Hannabon Hovel, live in downtown, beautiful Odenton, Maryland. A bit of an unexpected show, but one I kind of had to do. I will explain in a little bit. And of course, we are at the official end of the NHL season now that the Stanley Cup has been awarded to a certain team from Pittsburgh. I'm not going to talk about, but I kind of had to do this show due to a combination of recent events. I'll be a little bit more than a little bit honest right now. It's my day off, so I've been taking it easy. I'm nursing a slightly just over a pint of Guinness Extra Stout, which I highly recommend whether or not you are or are not of Irish descent, as I am. But either way, it's a mighty fine beer to enjoy when you've got nothing else to do. But let me get one email I have to kind of read on the air to kind of set the tone for things a bit. I've been behind on my emails. I understand that. So and once again, you can write to blueliner77@gmail.com, blueliner77@gmail.com. That address is going to change in the coming weeks. I'm trying to get on with another free provider who won't have as many qualms with messages coming in as Gmail does for some strange reason. But let's get to this. Trish in Chantilly, Virginia writes, "Dear Blue Liner, thanks for your show. You've said more than a few times that this podcast that you produce is therapy for you. Can you explain what that means?" I think in these uncertain times, I think I owe the listeners, you on the other side of the speaker, the earbuds, what have you, whatever hole you're listening out of, I owe you that much. Let me be a little bit candid here. Several years ago, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and at that time, it was not only recommended that that I should have medication to treat it, but also speak with a therapist. Well, as it happens, I've tried several therapists in the area, and none have met with my standard, met with any sort of, I don't think I've made any sort of a breakthrough, even a minor one, with any of them. But I have found that in doing or reviving this podcast, I have found that I think I found the outlet that I have needed all along. And that's to share with my hockey family, share with whoever would like to take the time to listen. And just want to throw out there, not to toot my own horn, but the Power Play Point podcast has crossed the threshold of 1,000 lifetime downloads. And I would like to thank each and every one of you listening now, in the past and in the future, for that. I'm truly, truly humbled by that. But I digress. What I mean by that is I get to use this as a forum to outlet not only my feelings about hockey, but my feelings about life in general. And there will be a little bit more on that in light of recent events. Should you decide to stick around for the whole show, hint, hint. because there are just times where I can't keep, you can't afford to keep your feelings inside. You just have to let out what you know is the truth, as you see it. And that's really what I mean. I am going to continue to use this podcast as a forum to see, to say what I see in the hockey world, to report on what I see, at least from a Caps fan's perspective, and also throw in maybe a sprinkling here and there of my point of view from other parts of the real world. I guess I'm a human being first and a hockey fan second, if you can think of it that way. But this podcast will always be from the point of view of a Caps fan, as far as our chances to one day lift and hold the richest prize there is in all sports, in my opinion, that being the Stanley Cup. But it's also my way of sharing my point of view with the world. So that ultimately is what I mean by that. I don't want to get too preachy about it. That's for later, but that's what I mean. That's my answer to that question. So thank you, Trish in Chantilly, for that. Okay, so now let's get some other unpleasantness out of the way. That being, of course, the what some would have called the eventual victory of the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup final against the San Jose Sharks. I guess there is not a team that is built to stop this team, stop the Penguins as they're built now from winning. That's fine, whatever. My final objection to all of this is that the Professional Hockey Writers Association, those that cast a vote, in their non-existent wisdom, voted to award one Sidney Crosby the Conn Smythe Trophy. And I argued with a coworker about this, and I ticked off several players that were far more deserving, in my estimation, than Crosby. And as our beautiful, illustrious, wonderful, sweet, personable admin, Robin Unzicker, pointed out, why the hell would you give the most prestigious playoff award to somebody who finished with a -4? I repeat, -4. Ovechkin finishes with a -1 in a game. He gets lambasted with all kinds of criticisms from all over the sports world. Crosby gets away with -4 for the whole playoffs, and he wins the playoff MVP. Somebody please explain to me why the hell, or what rationale, what process, what reasoning, what kind of mental disability you have to allow for this to happen. I can tick off several names of Penguins players that had a far better playoff showing, far better performance. Phil Kessel, for one. Phil Kessel came out of his shell, performed great. If not for Phil Kessel, I don't think the Penguins would have had that much of a difference. He provided the difference. What about Nick Bonino? Bonino, in Germany, all in one piece. Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey, and Greece. Nick Bonino! The man was all over the ice in most situations. The heart and soul of the HBK line. What? I've mentioned the B and the K. How about the H? Patrick Hornquist, who sealed the deal in the end and was a beast at both ends of the ice. How about Evgeny Malkin, who scored the crucial goal in, what was it, game three? No. Game four. What? I mean, I... You remember what I said maybe one or two shows ago when I said the PHWA was the laziest group of sports journalists ever? This only reinforces that point. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. I mean, did they just not see anyone else? Did they just go for the biggest friggin' name they could recognize in Sidney Crosby and just throw it out there? Are you listening, Kevin Allen? Are you listening, Greg friggin' Wyshynski? Are you listening, people from Calgary, Toronto, all you so-called experts of the game? There were other people that had a better show. Oh, and if you people know your frickin' history, there is a precedent. Pardon me. For the losing goalie, Ron Hextall. Roger Crozier. Jean-Sébastien Giguère? The losing goalie to win the Conn Smythe, when he stands on his head almost friggin' literally. Well, one more Guinness and I'm gonna break my rule about cursing, I swear. I'm that pissed off. What about Martin Jones? For crying out loud. The man literally by himself kept the Sharks in this series. This could have been a sweep if not for Martin Jones. But no. You lazy pee holes at the PHWA can't see the forest for the trees. You picked the biggest name. You didn't want to do the job. You didn't want to do your regular job, Kevin Allen, you jackhole. You didn't want to do your job, and you just picked the biggest name at the top of the heap and said, all right, give it to him. What the crap? Hell, give it to Matt Murray, even though he flopped several times. Even though he let in several goals he shouldn't have. Give it to Matt Murray, for crying out loud. Even that would have been an acceptable choice. Now, before anybody gets too upset, on our end, I just tweeted one Ms. Isabel Kershudian, our loyal and faithful sword maiden of the Washington Post. She confirmed to me that she was not in attendance and therefore did not vote. So, thankfully, she did not contribute to this madness. But I'm not going to waste any more time on this just that I want to make the point that I don't think Sidney Crosby deserved it. There are other players, many other players, who could make the case that they deserved it more, way more. I would not have had a problem with, again, Phil Kessel, Nick Bonino, Patrick Hornquist, or Matt Murray, or Evgeny Malkin. I would not have had, or Martin Jones, I would not have had any problem with any of those six players winning the Conn Smythe. But Sidney frickin' Crosby, what the hell did Gary flippin' Bettman do? Stick a gun to your heads? Is that what he did? Did he threaten your families? Does he have pictures with you playing golf with Satan? I mean, come on. You can name the movie I just referenced. You win a bag of Doritos. But come on. But now that that's out of the way, now for the sole purpose, the real purpose in my presenting this edition, I am, as regular listeners of the Power Play Point podcast will know by now, I hope, I am a fan and a student of history, and especially of hockey history. And we endured the news of the unfortunate passing of one of the game's all-time greats, and some would say, and I would not argue with them, the all-time greatest, none other than number 9, Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, this past weekend. And ultimately, that is why I'm doing this episode. I could not let his passing go by without honoring his great and storied career. This is my way of paying respects to someone that, through all of his efforts, literally put ice hockey on the map. And I, for one, will be forever indebted to him for that. So, let's, well, the only way I know how to do this is kind of start from the beginning. He was born, of course, and I'll start this off. There are many things I love about the man, but one of the things, of course, is that he shares a birthday with my late father, and I'll mention the significance of that in a moment. But born on March 31st, 1928, in Floral, Saskatchewan. The son of Catherine, Mother Catherine, and a father named Albert. He was one of nine children. He grew up with the problem of dyslexia. But his physical attributes overcompensated that. He was not mentally challenged by any means, I would say, but at the same time, he was physically gifted. He topped 6 feet by the time he was 16, and there's a story that I read once where his father had lent a neighbor some money during the Depression. And a little while later, the neighbor came back with some food and a pair of skates. And his sister Edna grabbed one and he grabbed the other. And then his sister eventually got cold and came in the house. And so he grabbed the other skate and he never... Until he grew out of them, he never relinquished it. And his mother would lay newspapers down so that he could practice hockey all day and then come in the house and walk in his skates between practices and eat his meals and then go right back out. And that's what you do when you love the game. And if anything, he loved the game. Well, the rest, of course, is history. Most of you who are listening, if you don't know, you should know. But of course, we all know the legend. He retired with 1,850 points, 801 goals, 801 regular season goals, 1,050 assists. He's still, at the time of this recording anyway, ranks in the top five in all-time regular season points recorded. Mark Messier and Jaromir Jagr have since passed him for second and third place, respectively. But again, he still ranks in the top five all-time. And then there's, of course, his storied career, and he lived out a dream in the fact that he got to play with his two sons, Mark and Marty, on a line with them in the WHA, the World Hockey Association. And, of course, he was also famous for the Gordie Howe hat trick, which he himself only had two of, in his career. That's a goal, assist, and a fight all in the same game, if you're not familiar with that. There are many, many achievements, many significant things I could go over. Basically, was is the original standard for what is a power forward, what a power forward should be in hockey. And that's what he was, and that's how he helped change the game. He was not only a strong player who could hit, stand up for himself, and fight strong along the boards, but he was also gifted in his skills with his ability to pass the puck, pardon me, and shoot the puck, and hold on to the puck. Now, as for, well, not, but it's hard, you'll have to bear with me, it's a little hard for me to say. There are many, many things about Gordie Howe from a historical standpoint I can say. I can probably waste the better part of the rest of the day going over his contributions to hockey history. But the reason that I couldn't let his passing go without some sort of a dedication to him, without my expressing my gratitude, my using this forum that I'm lucky enough to have, is because of something that I was lucky enough to witness when I was very, very young. I became a fan of hockey when I was real, real young. I was a fan of the Atlanta Flames. They were my first love. I wasn't living in this area at the time. My dad was in the service. He was in the Army. We were living in Fort Benning, Georgia. We watched Flames games on TV regularly. And one of my first memories as a child is watching Willie Plett score a power play goal from the point with a blast. And that's one of my earliest memories, and that's one of the reasons why I got into hockey the way I did. My dad got a ticket once. I wasn't there with him. But my dad got a ticket to see a Flames game when they played an exhibition game against Gordie Howe's New England Whalers. And when he came home and described to me what he saw, he couldn't get over himself. I'll never forget the way his eyes lit up when he described what he saw. And he just marveled at the way a man, and Gordie was, if he hadn't hit 50 by then, he was pretty close to it. He was in his late 40s at this point. He was 49, 50 years old at this point. But my dad just marveled at the way the guy played the game. He didn't let up, was able to, keep up with the younger guys, and was not afraid of the physical contact. And he came back and he described to me what I saw, and he said, "Son, one of these days I'm going to take you to the game. I'm going to take you to see this guy, because this man is the greatest who's ever played the game." And sure enough, a year and a half later, when we moved up to Maryland, when he was assigned to Fort Meade, it was Gordie Howe's last season, and then he was with the Hartford Whalers. It was the 1980 season, and it was one of his last games. And I have flashes of it, but flashes of memories, but I won't ever forget the sight of him on the ice, the number 9 in green, up and down the ice. Now you to look at him from a distance, He didn't see much, but he made the most of his presence on the ice. And the opposition, in this case my Capitals, gave him a wide berth. I can't remember whether or not he scored, but he acquitted himself very well. And that will stick out in my mind forever. And that's one of, along with the Willie Plett goal, that's one of my first and early memories of the game. And why I will be forever indebted to Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, for that. He made me fall in love with the game. And so I can't thank him enough for that. And I also, speaking of the Mr. Hockey nickname, I can't let it go without mentioning the story of how he happened to get that nickname. It seemed that while he was with the Red Wings, his long career with the Red Wings, and the home arena was called the Olympia. The home rink was called the Olympia rink. The fan had sent him a letter, and the addressee only said Mr. Hockey. But everybody knew it was for Gordie Howe. And that is how he got his nickname, for anyone that was ever curious. Now, I'm not sure when this was, but that's the story of how he got his nickname, Mr. Hockey, other than for obvious reasons. But I mean, I don't want to waste everybody's time. And I mean, like I said, there are probably literally 1,000 stories I could tell about the man. The Lou Fontanato fight, his comeback from having his skull fractured in the playoffs against Toronto. Being in the WHA All-Star game against the Russians on a line with Wayne Gretzky. You know, his being ambidextrous and using a flat blade. You know, there's a lot of things I could sit here and talk about. I really, really wish I had the time, bandwidth, practice, what have you. But, you know, there just isn't enough time. And you know, if God is kind enough to me, I tell you what, I will one day make it to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto and be able to, you know, see all his exhibit there, his information, everything about him there. It's one of my, you know, probably pretty much at the top of my bucket list. Other than seeing the Caps win a Stanley Cup. But I mean, I hope you understand, you on the other side of the earbuds can understand that what this man has done for the game. Now, we like to live in the now, but and I will say this to my dying day, we owe what we are to what went on in the past. I think we should honor those who came before us, and I can't think of a better way, or, well, as far as hockey goes, a better person to look at as an example other than Gordie Howe. And so I don't want to overdo this with words. I think the man's actions speak for themselves. The man single-handedly led the National Hockey League into the latter half of the 20th century and beyond through his efforts. So, Gordie, God bless you, and thank you for all that you've done. Now, for future episodes, of course, we've got the draft coming up fairly soon. I'm going to do all I can to research that. We've also got the July 1 free agent period coming up, and we've also got some other things to look at. So probably in the next few weeks, we'll have another show coming up, And then we're going to kind of hit a real dry spell until training camp in September. And we'll be getting back there. And I haven't mentioned it to him yet, but what I'd like to do is get with Robbie Gross and do kind of like a season preview, call in and do a season preview. Haven't set anything up yet, but I'd like to do something like that. So I'm gonna let him know that like to get with him and Carol and see what we can do about that. But for me, thanks for all of you that are listening. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your allowing me to indulge me this bit of history, significant part of history that is Gordie Howe. And take care of yourselves. And of course, as always, let's go Caps. Okay, so for the ones of you that have stayed on till this moment, you're probably wondering what this is all about. Well, of course, I made passing mention of recent events. I think anyone listening should know what I mean, but I'll go ahead and say it. Of course, the tragedy in Orlando, Florida, where officially at this time, 49 deaths have been confirmed from the mass shooting from what is now the largest acknowledged mass shooting in U.S. history. And I couldn't let, this is something else I couldn't let go by without saying something about. I think it goes without saying that this is a terrible, terrible tragedy, but I think the real tragedy in all this is that, to some extent, it could have been prevented. And I'm not just talking about what I have already mentioned as an abject failure of our law enforcement organizations to prevent this. I am talking about all of society. I think it's time that not only that we hold our leaders accountable, it's time that we all hold ourselves accountable. Why don't we start asking for better? Why don't we start asking of ourselves to move towards something better? Are we that complacent? Are we that self-absorbed in our own goals that we can't see the forest for the trees? I say we are, because we've gotten so self-absorbed in what we have to accomplish during the day that we cannot see how ignorant humanity has become. Now, I'll just come right out and say it, and some of you listening, you may want to turn this off, because it's not going to be pleasant. But I think, I mean, based on what I'm seeing, based on what I'm what I have been observing in not only my corner of the world but the world in general, I really, really, really think one day soon, humanity will be the victim of its own ignorance. And unfortunately, I can only hope and pray that I am long dead and gone when that sorrowful day happens. Because unless we decide to make a change within ourselves, it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Humanity will be that victim. But we're so wrapped up in our own agenda that we don't want anything to change for the better, because we're too afraid, we're too ignorant. We live in a society where someone who's openly bigoted is allowed to run for president in the name of free speech and change. We live in a society where cable companies run ads with an aging rock star that sings about aborting a child that never should have been and cheating on your significant other with an old flame. We live in a society where the actions that took place this past weekend are mourned, but not enough to spur any change. We live in society where law enforcement is both erring on the side of caution by doing nothing and overly militant by going after certain minority groups and cannot seem to find that balance. They don't even know what they're supposed to do anymore. We live in a society where people run red lights and don't even think about it. What I'm trying to say is, in a lot of this, we only have ourselves to blame. Until we all stand up and ask for the change that has to be made. Learning from history isn't just about learning where we've been and what we've done. It's about learning what's worked and what hasn't worked. And there's a reason why they say those who have failed to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Because it's true. And so if we make the same mistakes, elect the same leaders, put in the same people that propagate this nonsense and don't do anything significant about it, that don't take a stride, that all they do is say the same things over and over and over again, we're going to get the same results over and again. If we don't ask for the best, we'll never get the best. I have friends and family, dear friends and family, that are part of the LGBT community. Crying for them isn't going to bring the lost people back, the people that lost their lives in this tragedy back. You want to honor their memories? Stand up for them. And I'll give you an example. There's a young man at an establishment I like to go to. We'll call him James. The day after this happened, was spouting off and said that the gunman who perpetrated this heinous crime was a genius and should be honored. There's another young man at this establishment named David, who I had the pleasure to speak to before I heard all this. And he's an African American. We talked about Caps hockey and Nats baseball and a lot of other things about life. And it was there I learned how to keep a perspective in all this. For every James, there's a David. For every bad, there's a good. Well, I spoke with James's manager about what I was hearing. And without going into any details, let's just say action was taken. I'm not going to reveal any names or any much more detail, but action was taken. You see injustice, you do something about it.